The entries in Michael Bloomberg's burn book just keep on growing as he continues to offend just about everyone. Bernie Sanders says that even Fox News is more fair to him than MSNBC, and Mayor Pete keeps digging a hole with minority voters. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're having a great week. We've got a lot to cover. There's a Democrat debate tonight, and Michael Bloomberg will finally be on stage with the other Democrats, Elizabeth Warren, Mayor Pete, Bernie Sanders, Amy Klobuchar. We finally get to see what he's like mixing it up with these other candidates, getting real questions, since for now, so far, all he's done is put out millions and millions of dollars in TV ads. But since he's done that, and now he's getting more scrutiny, more and more just keep coming out regarding his past and his statements regarding minorities, transgenders, you name it. And the comments aren't really in line with the whole inclusive diversity tolerance mantra of the Democrats. And it's interesting to see that as more time goes on, more and more just keep coming out. And we'll review with some of the stuff that started to come out last week. And there's even more. So we're going to start with this from 2015. This is him, Mayor Bloomberg, talking about minorities and crime.
95% of your murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25. That's true in New York, it's true in virtually every city.
So take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. If that doesn't sound like racial profiling, I don't know what does. Imagine someone else saying that. It is flat out racial profiling, and here's more of what he said.
Bloomberg went on to say, quote, "We put all the cops in minority neighborhoods." Yes, that's true. Why do we do it? Because that's where all the crime is.
So with that one, it's the hyperbole that really stands out. That's what, to me, that's what really gets him, because he says that all the cops are put in these neighborhoods because that's where all the crime is. Can you imagine a Republican saying this? Donald Trump saying this, or someone else? The media would just go crazy. I mean, all the crime is there, so all the cops are there. So then another clip came out, and this is Bloomberg talking about Black and Latino men. Check this out.
Yes, there's this enormous cohort of Black and Latino males, age, let's say, 16 to 25, that don't have jobs, don't have any prospects, don't know how to find jobs, don't know what their skill sets are, don't know how to behave in the workplace where they have to work collaboratively and collectively.
Wow. They don't know how to behave in the workplace? Ouch. Cam, imagine someone else saying this. And this is where the media and the establishment Democrats are in such a quandary, because Bernie Sanders is so far to the left. He's such a socialist. They don't want him. They want to get rid of him. And an alternative? It's not ending up being Joe Biden so far. He's falling like a rock. So they're almost forced to gravitate to Michael Bloomberg, who's coming out as a racist elitist. It's just amazing what they're stuck with. Here's another comment. This is Bloomberg going after middle America.
Think about it. We, the intelligentsia, people who could make it into this room, we believe in a lot of things in terms of equality and protecting individual rights that make no sense to the vast bulk of people.
Wow, talk about an us versus them attitude. I mean, Michael Bloomberg and his intelligentsia, this liberal leftist elite, they definitely know more than Bumpkin Bob. And that's what he's talking about here. And the example that he used in that speech was going to middle America and trying to convince them that a guy dressed like a woman, it's okay to be in the locker room with your daughter. So the whole example is that this intelligentsia understands that that's actually okay, and middle America just can't get it. They're just too dumb to understand that it's really okay for a man who thinks he's a woman to be in the locker room or restroom with your daughter. The middle America doesn't get it, but the intelligentsia, the Michael Bloombergs, the liberal elite of the world, they get it. That's what he's saying. So then he goes on, and if that's not enough, if he hasn't hit every base so far, then he's talking about farmers. He actually wants to stick it to farmers now. And here's a report from the Washington Times. As his poll numbers have risen, Mr. Bloomberg has suffered a nearly daily deluge of embarrassing leaks and exposés in the past week, including his support for tough policing that targeted minorities as New York's mayor and his reported history of making demeaning comments toward women in his corporate empire. A rival campaign jabbed the candidate Tuesday about owning a mansion in Bermuda, a notorious tax haven. A video surfaced last week of Mr. Bloomberg appearing to disparage farmers. I could teach anybody, even people in this room, so no offense intended, to be a farmer. It's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. You could learn that. For information era jobs, he said, you have to have a lot more gray matter. So, geez, that's Bloomberg. And I mentioned the Democrats are in just a quandary because this is their establishment guy. This is who they're forced to gravitate to because Bernie Sanders is scaring them to death with his socialist policies and the fact that he could be the nominee. And just to show you how far left he is, we want to move now to Bernie Sanders. He held a rally a few days ago, and one of the featured speakers, this was in Seattle, was a Seattle city councilwoman who is a full-on socialist. She is a full-on socialist, wants to tear down capitalism and fight it with everything she has. This was a featured speaker at a Bernie Sanders rally. And here's a report from the Daily Caller. Seattle City Councilwoman Kashama Sawant, a socialist who belongs to a Trotskyist organization that wants to seize control of America's banks, was a featured speaker at Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders' 2020 campaign rally in Seattle on Monday. In her speech to Sanders supporters, Sawant called for a powerful socialist movement to end all capitalist oppression and exploitation. Sawant is a member of the Socialist Alternative, a fringe Trotskyist group that is open about its goal of a socialist United States and a socialist world, according to its website. What's amazing is not that Bernie Sanders especially had this person at his event, since he's a socialist. What's amazing is that these kind of people get elected in the United States of America. In Seattle, this person ran for and got elected to city council. She is in their city government, a full-on socialist that wants to destroy the American way of life. This is an elected official in Seattle. It's just amazing. So then, on the other side of things, Bernie Sanders, again, the media, the leftist Democrats, I mean, the establishment Democrats, they don't want him. They're scared to death of him. And so the media keeps attacking him, trying to chip away at him. We saw it in debate questions before. We saw it again with MSNBC on their ongoing attacks. And what's interesting is this debate that's coming up tonight is actually hosted by NBC News and MSNBC. And Bernie Sanders has had enough. In a Vanity Fair article that just came out, his campaign manager, Faiz Shakir, talked about how Fox News is even more fair to the Sanders campaign than MSNBC. And here's a report from Vanity Fair. When we spoke Friday, Shakir was clearly frustrated by what he saw as a mix of dismissive and disparagement toward his candidate. He bemoaned a double standard in which his campaign faces relentless scrutiny over its most vocal online supporters, so-called Bernie brothers, while MSNBC pundits have impunity to knock the candidate or his base. You can feel the disdain they have for Bernie Sanders supporters, Shakir said. It's a condescending attitude. Oh, they must not be that intelligent. They're being deluded. They're being conned. They're all crazy Twitter bots. My view is that there's a bit of detachment from MSNBC and the people who this campaign gets support from. It feels like they're covering progressives from an elitist perspective. It's funny how that is exactly how I think that the media covers a lot of conservatives, and now Bernie Sanders and his folks are feeling the same thing. Another person that we'll be seeing in the debate tonight is Mayor Pete Buttigieg. And this guy, oh my gosh, we could do a whole show just on him. He frustrates me so much. We're going to get into some of his problems with the Black community. But first, I want to say that there's another story out where he's talking about Christians shouldn't be compatible. Christianity shouldn't be compatible with supporting Donald Trump. And every time he mentions Christianity, you guys just need to walk away because he twists things so much and it is so frustrating. I'm actually working on a master's degree in theology from the University of Notre Dame. And so whenever he talks about this, it especially just drives me crazy because there's nothing that he says that relates his activities, his philosophy, his beliefs to Christianity. He uses it as a political tool, and it is beyond the pale as far as being out of bounds and out of line and twisting that to advance his own agenda. But the real story here, that was just an aside. That's just frustration coming out. The real story is him and his failure to make any inroads in the Black community. And in fact, he keeps digging himself in a bigger and bigger hole. Now he's trying to push a program. He's trying to woo South Carolina Black voters. And he's talking about going into business partnerships with some of these Black-owned businesses. The problem is that there's no partnership. Some of them are saying he's just making it up. And here's a report from Fox News. Last week, Buttigieg penned an op-ed in a South Carolina newspaper, The State, promoting his Frederick Douglass plan, which he describes as a comprehensive investment in the empowerment of Black America that was developed with the help of Black activists and business leaders. That begins with entrepreneurship, and our campaign has proudly partnered with local businesses like Diane's Kitchen in Chester, Atlantis Restaurant in Monarch's Corner, and the Fair Deal Grocery in Charleston's East Side, Buttigieg wrote. So this is where you need to hit the brakes and say, not so fast, because it turns out some of these partnerships he's talking about aren't actual partnerships. Here's more from Fox News. However, according to ABC News, two of those businesses, Diane's Kitchen and Atlantis Restaurant, said they only remembered welcoming Buttigieg's campaign as customers, not forging any sort of partnership with the candidate. I stand for what I stand for, and I didn't say I had a partnership, Diane's Kitchen owner Diane Cole told ABC News. The report then alleges that the Buttigieg campaign attempted to persuade Cole into changing her position so that it would more closely match the language Buttigieg used in his op-ed in multiple messages after ABC News asked the campaign about Cole's response. That's not the way to ingratiate yourself with Black voters, making up partnerships that don't even exist, and then when you're called on it, trying to persuade or strong-arm these people to supporting you anyway or changing their words. That's Mayor Pete for you right there. So finally, I want to end with Virginia. There's actually some good news coming out with all this gun controversy because for too long now, Virginia has just been the source of bad news. You've got their governor, Ralph Northam, who had paraded around in blackface, who went on radio talking about how, you know, abortion, we need to discuss it even after the child is born, that guy. Then the Democrats take over their legislature and want to just go crazy on gun bans and confiscation and all of this stuff. Most of the counties in Virginia have become what they call sanctuary counties, where they're not going to enforce these laws. They're going to support the Second Amendment. Well, finally, one of the gun measures has failed in the Senate, and it's actually good news. This is in regard to the so-called assault weapons ban, and that one failed. And here's a report from the Washington Examiner. Virginia's attempt to ban the sale of assault weapons failed in the state Senate, where four centrist Democrats realized something important. Aggressive gun control doesn't work. House Bill 961, which passed the Virginia House 51-48, only to be killed in a Senate committee by a 10-5 vote, would have prohibited the sale of certain semi-automatic firearms and restricted the use of magazines that hold more than 12 rounds. You just have to love politics, all right? Because these Democrats, they talk a good game, but some of them, when they're in representing counties and districts in the areas of these sanctuary counties, they see the writing on the wall saying, if I promote this, I could be voted out of office. And here's more. Governor Ralph Northam, a Democrat, championed the bill, but the dozens of Virginia counties that designated themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries were proof that the bill would have faced serious pushback had it become law. This could be why three Democrat state senators who represent sanctuary counties voted against the bill. A blanket ban on the nation's most popular sports rifle would have affected these Democrats' electability given their constituents' stated opposition to gun control. And that statement's absolutely right. These folks saw this writing on the wall. They claimed in statements that they voted against it because the studies show that there's no correlation between getting rid of the AR-15 and increased public safety. And that's absolutely right. Studies absolutely show that. But it's funny now that they hide behind that just because they're afraid they're going to get voted out of office. So that's Virginia. That's our show for today, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. And we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.